Jingles.
It's the TK Jingles podcast for January 12th, 2017. I'm your host, Jerry Negrelli. This podcast features songs from tkjingles.com. Today we've got six great new songs up front, a preview of the upcoming Jingle Madness bracket, along with a separate and ignorable segment about a time I took a trip just past Winchester. It's going to be a great show, lots of good songs to share with you. Hope you enjoy.
It's the same every season. The Redskins crush your soul. When they win, they rarely make it easy. And they often choke. So here we go.
Rebuild all of your hopes.
Come on.
All right, so it's January and the jingles have started to turn from songs about the Redskins and sports to Tony's restaurant and other ridiculous misadventures. But before we get into some of those, I wanted to remind you that you can email me Chinese food, that's all one word, ChineseFood@tkjingles.com. I love to get your notes and just feedback on the show, what else you like, maybe just what you'd like to hear more of, less of, whatever. Also, I wanted to let you know that the Desolation of Sanj, our next Jingle Fest get-together, we should have some announcements on that soon. I think the biggest challenge right now is just figuring out how many people are coming and how to accommodate all of that. The venue we had last year isn't going to work, so I'm trying to work through alternate options, and ultimately I may just let the Kickstarter decide the size of the venue, because the places I'm looking at are going to be quite expensive, or we can just go all out and do something like Kilroy's and do the uber cheap. It's just not going to be able to accommodate that many people, so depending on who backs it, who wants to come, who's coming, we'll kind of set it based on that. Also, I'd like to just take a quick moment to recognize Gary Braun. You know, from the very beginning of the podcast of tkjingles.com, of basically every silly thing that I've done in this whole hobby of mine, Gary has been the one person beyond anybody else that has really advocated for it and supported it and advertised it and tweeted about it and whatever else. And, I just wanted to thank Gary. He's been awesome, and is the one person that I can really count on to help, coordinate some of this stuff, even though that's not really remotely his role at all. So, that's all. Just wanted to have a little heartfelt moment there just to recognize that Gary, in as much as I know him, is just an awesome dude and is great and everything that you could hope for. So, now let's get to the song. So we have two main topics over the last few weeks, and so we're going to play a few songs about each of those topics. The first is Tony's new restaurant, Chad's in Friendship Heights. So the first two are about that, and this first one, I'm just so jealous that John Fitzpatrick thought of the title, because I would love to have done something like this. I was actually thinking of this song the other day and how to work it in, but I couldn't come up with a title that really fit as perfectly as this does. And then Joe Arrow has another one also to another song, Breakfast at Tiffany's, that I just love and have been wanting to use an intro to this show for a long time. I don't think I ever have. So you may be hearing that song again someday as an intro on this podcast, just as a forewarning. And then we got a couple of songs about ponies with the return of Jason Fuse. And then a collaboration by Elliot and Joe set to God Bless the USA about what it means to be a little.
Catering to new Epicurean habits, straying far from those newspaper days. Serving up some lamb speedies and the cheesery. Connie Chung has got your tab, and hey, Junior's clearing trays. So instead of all those Pulitzer dreams, you wanna entice media elite with a martini, some linguine, please no kale or beets. Maybe that son of yours can smoke some meat. Cheeseburgers in Friendship Heights. Got the Blue Apron, a recipe for jasmine rice. A jersey from OV, one with pinstripes from Bryce. Come get a cheeseburger in Friendship Heights. They make fries like those in bowling alleys. Rascals on the jukebox right next to Frankie Valley. Coach Gary's hawking sweatshirts, Maury serving beers. Well, good God almighty.
gonna do is like some meat that's no ice. Better damn well get ready to pay full price for those cheeseburgers in Friendship Heights. I said, cheeseburgers in Friendship Heights. Yeah, that. Cheeseburgers in Friendship Heights.
You're rich. You have everything that you want, but you bought yourself a restaurant, and Wilmon's not surprised. You'll say you'd like a disclosed location. Podcasting live would be affirmation while eating bowling alley fries. And Maury said, Chadwick's down on Wisconsin. It's a lot like Cheers where you walk down inside it. And Gary and the socialite, they both kind of like it. So Chad's in Friendship Heights is the place that we bought.
Well, I'm just a yearling. A small, equus, ferris, capitalist, needs someone who knows how to ride, and is less than 6'5". I don't know about that kid, he's gotta be over 30 years. Oh, I think he's gonna break my back, I can't even canter, this man has got to get off. You're a grown man, near 40, you can't ride me, I'm a pony. This saddle is breaking. Come on, man, get off me. I'm equine proletariat. 14 hands, just a pony. Yet your old man is grinning like I'm secretariat.
I pack my basket up with eggs, mostly chains, but some ones too. Then I try to hide from my old man. I sense my dad is set to mock me now. I look around, what do I see? Oh, such a tiny horse. Michael, come on over here and get in line. You're almost a man, but it's still fine. Your feet may drag, but that is kind of the point. Oh, ride the pony boy. Pony boy, and get a picture for the Christmas card. I listen to an orange bald man for information for my life. And I use a phrase that's 9 words long. Talk about my wife. I thank my lucky stars that Mr. Tony's on today, 'cause they just ran out of Triscuits at the refugee Safeway. And I'm proud to be a little lamb. You Tony asked for stuff for free. And I won't forget to bike and white and shout La Cheesery. And I'll proudly stand up at the sink and eat ice cream all day. 'Cause there ain't no doubt that this show stinks, especially on Thursday.
Okay, now this next thing here we're going to do, Jingle Madness, it's just a preview. I've gotten, over the 3 or 4 years we've been doing TK Jingles, I've actually gotten this suggestion many times of putting together a March Madness-like bracket of jingles and putting them head-to-head in some way and crowning a champion. And I don't know what the end goal of that is. I don't know if there's like a prize to be given out, if people can fill out brackets or whatever. But you know, the more I thought about it now after years of folks suggesting that, I thought, you know, what the hell? This could be fun. So I think we're going to try to put together a jingle bracketology preview show here in the next few weeks. I'll get some guests to kind of help me break it all down. But I just wanted to preview maybe what some of that might be if this ever comes to fruition, because again, it's kind of a stupid idea, but maybe it could be fun. Robert Berg said that he has a copy of Barry Zwerluga's book. Maybe we could give that out as a prize and you could fill out a bracket or something. So the brackets that I'm thinking of right now would be like an email, faxes, and notes bracket for all the songs that are just about that junk, a friends and enemies bracket, maybe an old guy radio bracket, maybe an unaired jingles bracket, maybe a news stories bracket. There's a bunch of different ways we could go with this. We might need to have like a grab bag or miscellaneous bracket as well. So the two that I think are pretty much locks, though, the two brackets that make the most sense are the emails, faxes, and notes, and the friends and enemies one. So I'm going to play a few songs. These aren't necessarily going to make the tournament. These, you know, these guys, it's their regular season right now. So there's still a few weeks maybe until, you know, those selections are made by the committee. But for now, here's a preview of some of the songs that may be in an emails, faxes, and notes Jingle Madness bracket.
He is an old man, he is a bald man. He goes to screenings, then he leaves early. Why won't the Redskins run no hurdles? Three timeouts, no sense of urgency. Gotta be kidding me. Here comes the mailbag with the emails and notes. No one faxes those. Tell me the roads that you all drive down in order to get into work. Yes, and how many tears must an orange man cry? 'Cause Raju Narasetti is a jerk. Yes, and how many years can the podcast exist before Tony learns how to twerk? The answer, my friend, is in Tony's mailbag. The answer's in Tony's mailbag.
Dear surly Mr. Tony, we sent you lots of notes. We sure hope that you read them for all the folks. You asked us for some tribute, liquor and kind bars. But golly Moses, this time you've gone too far.
Right!
Dear Mr. Tony, you've done it again. You asked for free CDs when you could shell out the 10. It ain't just a question of asking for swag. You've sold out the mailbag.
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 Mailbag. Tony's mailbag. Like it's Mr. Tony's mailbag.
That was an awfully good jingle.
Let me tell it to the world.
Just tell it to the judge.
Here comes Tony's mailbag. He's got your emails, faxes, and he'll read your notes and start whining. He'll read a haiku and then more screaming. While the weasels delay podcasts and eating. pitchers. And that's the sound of Tony.
There's someone yakking all day, awfully loud, and he likes to complain. Once was a newspaper man, now he stacks his cash with both of his hands. And you gotta try, little, sing your song, put it on pkjingles.com. What a Luddite for a host, thought he'd cook his steak like it's toast. Pandora on his iPhone, although he can't quite recall how he turned it on. And now the mailbag email notes, Tony's gonna read some for you. It's time to try, little, sing your song, put it on PK Jingle. It's the mailbag email notes, Tony's gonna read some for you. It's time to try, little, sing your song, put it on PK Jingle. It's the mailbag email notes.
That's what it's all about to me. I mean, those vintage songs there. We had some early Patrick Moffitt and Brad Weiss. It sounded like they'd been recorded by holding up a tape recorder next to a stereo or something. Really, just love to kind of look back at those simpler days when all we sang about was faxes and notes. So hopefully we can crown something from that bracket. Hopefully it's not set to the tune of Two of Us. The next bracket is the Friends and Enemies bracket, which I think is another no-brainer here. So here are five songs about various friends and enemies of the show.
Avocado, a snack you can't call a dud. It tickles Tim Kirchner's taste buds with every bite. He finds a ripe one. Tim knows it's ready for peeling, and he can't shake this feeling that he'll make guac tonight. But Kevin has a forecast that should have Kirchner worried. A forecast that is cold and packed with sleet. Get to the groceries pronto, Tim, before it starts to flurry. And stock up on the only food that you will eat. Avocado.
Promise to bring jobs back to VA. I don't know how a lawyer would do that, though. Oh, it made no sense in pretense. You just think we're dumb, I guess. Obin Shane, dear Mark, Obin Shane. Not even Tory Clark could defend your campaign. Maybe you might hire a clerk or two, but you must admit that's about it. You're full of shit. Oh, anyone but Obin Shane, Mark Obin Shane. Avita Zane.
I heard there was a wooden story that Junior told to Gene and Tory, but chicks don't care about army football, do you? So he went into a clothing store and tried on each size 34 until the waistband stretched its length round Junior. We miss Junior. Bring back Junior. We miss Junior. Bring back Junior.
On TV, on PTI, I've even dreamt he was surprised 1,000 times. It's almost like he already knows each score. Will Bond, how on earth do you know each score? I just can't believe my eyes when I watched the crawl. You picked the date and time Syracuse would lose in basketball, and you always dress so sharp in your tailored well-cut suits. And I believe that it's no secret you love shoes.
I never knew anyone respected whatever it is you do, beyond collecting Under Armour ties and suits and hungrily consuming grim obituaries. Now you're dead to me until I need a salt deposit from your progeny, or get the weather reports from Henry, who's carving notches on his bedpost in Lusby. Kevin is leaving and I'm full of dread, losing my newsman. Santangelo thinks this guy's the best journalist since Walt Cronkite. That jetpack dude, probably be a while till he can chew his food, drinking potato salad through a tube. And Kevin's laughing so hard that he's really crying. Here's a coupon to the Golden Corral at the Boulevard. Oh wait, this is an ad, I'm a moron. I forget what was the vital point that I was making. Everyone knows I have the attention span of a brain-dead clam. Who plays Superman in real life? And what's the deal with next day blind?
So that's a small glimmer preview of what might end up being our Jingle Madness bracket for 2017. So I welcome your feedback, ChineseFood@tkjingles.com. Let me know what you think. It was also fun just to take a trip down memory lane there. Some really wonderful songs from the past couple of years. You know, TK Jingles has been going for almost 4 years now, and it's just unbelievable. I feel like we just started this maybe last spring, and lo and behold, it's 2017, and God, it's just around the corner, 4 years. Unbelievable. So again, folks, thank you for listening. That is it for the musical segment now. I now hand it over to the spinoff podcast, something that's just a little bit different. So hope you enjoyed it. I'll hopefully be back here next week.
The show is kind of musical. Sometimes clever, sometimes juvenile. Yeah, Robert Berg is incomparable. You go on way too long, so please stick with the songs. I could skip you, of course, but that's kind of a chore. Save your commentary for some other podcast that's separate and ignorable. Separate and ignorable.
And this is a story about a trip I took to Winchester, Virginia, or just past Winchester, Virginia, I was told. And it all began one day when Michelle found a great deal on a dining room set in Washington, D.C. This was a dining table, china cabinet, a hutch, some French country chairs, a really nice set. This would have been several thousand dollars new, but because it was in terrible shape, there was a huge gouge down the middle of the table, the chairs were kind of scuffed and old-looking, it was greatly discounted. So Michelle decided this is the set she wanted, and now her next task was to find somebody to help fix it, and then this would complete our dining room. At this point, we had my college, or just after college furniture for my apartment, and she wanted to have something nicer than that. So she found a woman on Craigslist who did restoration and refinishing, and this person was just outside of Winchester, Virginia, she said. So, you know, Winchester is about an hour west of here, so I wasn't thrilled about going out there, but I figured, all right, if we have to go to Southeast DC to get the furniture and then drive out to Winchester, maybe this is a morning, right? You know, maybe we'll go that. Maybe we'd even have a lunch in Winchester. It seems like could be an okay Saturday. So let's do that. So we came up with a plan. We dropped the baby off at the in-laws' house at like 7 a.m., went to rent a Ryder truck, and I had to go to Springfield to get the truck. And as I was going through it, the guy that was checking me out, I'd gotten a very big truck because now we had like five or six pieces of furniture, and the U-Hauls that I was looking at wouldn't have cut it, so I needed something bigger. And the salesman said, "Are you sure you can handle this vehicle? I mean, this is like a borderline commercial truck." And, you know, it was like challenging, you know, my hombre-ness or whatever at that point. I said, "Oh, yeah, I can. I'm sure I can handle it." He said, "All right, well, it's kind of a big truck. You know, you may want to just buy the insurance. It's like a $20 or $30 upsell. You may want to just do that. Because it's so big." And, you know, I figured, oh, no, this is a scam. I don't need insurance. I'm not doing that. I'll take the truck. Just don't bother me. I'm not going to pay for that insurance. Whatever. Signed the paperwork. Got in the car. The minute I sat in, I realized I'd made a huge mistake. The wheel was horizontal instead of vertical. So driving it was, you know, like, I don't know, I guess driving a school bus or something. It was a completely unnatural experience. I had no idea what I was doing. But I wasn't going to go back in there and, you know, and admit that. So I had to try to tough it out. So I went back home, picked Michelle up, and then we drove into DC, and it was, we ended up driving into, it looked like a really rough neighborhood. The cars were in pretty bad shape. The houses were in pretty bad shape. It was just over the Anacostia River. It was Sunday morning or Saturday morning, weekend morning. So it was a relatively calm, quiet time. And so I went to park the car in front of the house, and the house we were looking at was totally overgrown, just in shambles with old junk in the front yard and shutters hanging off. The house looked abandoned. And so I started trying to parallel park the car in the street. And of course, immediately, I ripped off the entire bumper of the car behind me and dented in the entire backside of this Ryder truck, ripped the grill kind of hanging down off the back. I mean, it was just a total disaster. So, I kind of straightened out and parallel parked, and I just had damaged the car behind me pretty severely. But we were there, and Michelle at that point, you know, we were now maybe 2 hours into the adventure and said, you know, maybe we should have scrapped this whole idea. This is a really bad omen. You know, we shouldn't do this. I said, no. We're in this deep. I opted not to pay for the insurance, so we're on the hook for a bunch of damage to this truck. We may as well get this furniture and just, you know, make this trip pay off. So as we're getting out of the car, a guy comes out of the house, and he introduces himself, and he says, oh, you know, this house used to belong to my parents, and then when they passed away, my brother lived here. He was mentally ill, and he was on drugs, so we kind of let this place go. So all the furniture in here is theirs. They've had for a long time. It's, you know, heirloom furniture. It's nice stuff. It's, you know, it's not in good shape because nobody's been looking after it. So we go into the house, and of course there's dead mice all over the floor. There's garbage everywhere. It's just a total hellhole. And, we haul it out of there, and it is crazy heavy, but luckily I got this guy, a pretty big guy, to help me. And the two of us were able to lift it out of the truck just barely. And as we're loading it, the next door neighbor, this woman comes out and notices that I have demolished the front half of her car. And she looks at me, and I expected some anger, maybe some shouting. We're in a rough part of D.C. I wasn't really sure what to expect. And she looks at it, and she just kind of laughs, and she says, "Oh, my God, you destroyed my rental car." I said, "Rental car?" She said, "Yeah, mine's in the shop because somebody hit me last week and totaled my car, so I just have a rental for the week, and now you destroyed that." I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. We exchanged information, and I went on my way." And so... So Michelle and I now, with the truck loaded with five or six pieces of large furniture, start driving out to meet this lady just past Winchester. So about an hour into this drive, we're driving down 66, and I start to see the signs for Winchester. So Michelle is responsible for navigating in the car and is notoriously terrible at it, just doesn't pay attention, and we miss exits and whatever else. So I'm trying to remind her, "Hey, should I get off here? No, okay. All right, next exit, that one says Winchester. Are we sure we shouldn't get off there?" And we keep going, and for some reason, she's telling me not to get off. Her GPS is saying to keep going. And if you keep going past Winchester, after about another 10 to 15 miles, you run out of road. You get to Route 81. And so that happens. We get to 81, and she says, "All right, head north on 81 for a while." And I'm thinking, all right, well, maybe we're going to come around the back of Winchester. Like, we'll get off, and then we'll head east, and we'll start heading back towards D.C., and then we'll come up on it from behind. But no, we go past the Winchester signs again, and even still, we go another 5, 10, 15 miles, just driving further and further north on 81. And then Michelle says, "Okay, we're going to get off here." And I expect, all right, we're going to go east back towards Winchester. And she says, no, we're going west towards West Virginia. So at this point, I'm starting to get a little bit annoyed. I mean, we're 3.5 hours or so into this journey, and we still haven't been able to meet this woman. But like, all right, well, we're in this, so whatever. So at this point, we get off in West Virginia, we start driving, and the smooth Virginia roads turn into like ravaged, pockmarked blacktop. Just, you can instantly tell, like when you cross, from sunlight into darkness, it just immediately, the roads are in terrible shape. And we start driving around the hills of West Virginia, and we're driving for another 30 or 45 minutes through twisting, windy mountain roads. And after a while, finally, we get to a turn, and we turn off onto one of those long, long roads that border farmland, if you've ever seen that, where you have a large piece of farm property, and there's just a long, straight road. And so we turn off onto one of those, and it takes us past the farm into heavy wilderness that's all gravel road. And we start driving around these gravel roads in this huge rider truck full of furniture. And the road starts to climb, and it goes up. And at this point, I'm starting to think, oh my God, this truck might not make it. We could end up getting stuck in a gravel road in the middle of nowhere in the mountains of West Virginia. This is crazy. So I'm starting to get angry at this point. Like, what is this boondoggle? We're not, just past Winchester. We are an hour past Winchester at this point, and there's no end in sight. And so the anger I get, and we keep going up and up and up and bending and passing all these things. And I'm about fed up at this point. Like, this is just a waste of our time. And just at that moment, we pass this rickety wooden fence. It's about 8 feet high with this tiny iron gate. And Michelle says, "Oh, this is it. This is the place." So it's a single lane gravel road. There's nowhere to park. So I just kind of stop in front of the iron gate. We hop out, and Michelle takes out her cell phone, and miraculously, there's a signal. And so she calls and says, "Hey, we're outside. Can you come out and let us in?" So this older woman, fairly overweight with kind of wild gray hair, comes to the gate, takes one look at the truck, says, "Oh, I don't know if that's going to work. I don't know if you guys are going to be able to fit that in here." And at this point, I mean, we're bordering on, 4 or 5 hours? It's been a long day already. We got up super early to make this happen. We're now past lunchtime. And I said, "Look, I am not turning around. We've come this far. Open the gate. I'm going to back this in. I'll make it work. I've already learned my lessons of parallel parking this vehicle. I won't damage your fence. I'm going to get you in there." So Michelle goes on the right side of the car. This woman goes on the left side of the car. And they start kind of waving me back as I start to try to back in. And so I get in, and very carefully, I'm slowly going through. And as I'm going, tree branches are snapping all around the truck. Pine needles are falling onto the windshield from above. And as I'm slowly driving in, I notice behind Michelle and this woman, there are dogs. And there's not just like 2 or 3 dogs, but maybe there's like a dozen running side to side, happy as can be, behind the truck and all over the yard, just crazily, just wild dogs running everywhere. So I start going even slower just to make sure, like, I don't hit one or something. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, the woman lets out this blood-curdling scream, "Ah!" Just out of nowhere, just shrieks at the top of her lungs, just pierces me. And I'm horrified. I think, oh my God, I hit one of those dogs. This is the worst possible thing. So I stop the truck, I hop out, I run down and say, "Oh my God, what happened?" And she's pacing frantically behind the truck, talking to herself. No way. Oh, no. It's not going to fit. Don't even. Oh, my God. Oh. And just raving to herself, carrying on like a mad woman. And so no dog has been injured. She's just screaming for no reason. So at this point, I start to wonder if maybe we're leaving this place alive. I mean, we're in the middle of nowhere, and this person we're visiting is clearly deranged. Maybe this was all some elaborate trap just to lure some people out to murder them. So this woman continues to wail for a little while and finally calms herself down through this process and turns to us and says, all right, you guys should just leave. Just head back out. You know, this isn't going to work. And I'm only halfway down the driveway, but I'm not even listening to her. I mean, we've come this far. I've already popped the back of the Ryder truck. I've climbed in. I have started bringing stuff down. I am unloading it. Hell or high water, we are taking this stuff out. And so once again, Michelle, kind of just like at the front gate when we had to come in, kind of calms her down, and they sit there and watch as I haul the furniture into the house. And the setup is so awkward with like one, it's a, the house itself, it looks like something out of Hansel and Gretel. It's this cute little house with a pointy roof and decorative windows. With a couple of big stone steps out front. So it's really hard to get anything in there and out without scratching the hell out of it. So luckily we brought some blankets, kind of drag it all up in there, but it's so big and awkward and neither of them can really help me. So I finally get it in there. It takes like an hour of just pushing stuff in there. And as I get in there, the thing that really stands out to me is that the floor is just gone. I mean, it's a wooden floor, but it's a mess of claw marks and scratches from this dog pack that seems to live here. And every surface in the place, every bit of furniture, everything is scratched or covered in a blanket. And all around this place, in addition to all the furniture I've hauled in, are unfinished painting and woodworking projects. So there's like a half-painted swinging door from a saloon that you might find that she says she's going to hang on the wall. There's some old wood from a reclaimed barn that she's going to add to her kitchen countertop or something. But there's these unfinished projects all over the place in various degrees of painting and sanding and whatever else. And amidst all that, there's just a pack of wild dogs running over, jumping on top of it, climbing, scratching. And I noticed that on all these projects that are half-finished, there are these thick dog hairs embedded in all the paint and the sealant on the project. So, you know, at this point, Michelle starts chatting her up, and by now, throughout this long, long day, the sun is starting to go down. It's getting to be late afternoon. And I start getting really antsy that we were hanging out at this crazy lady's murder house, and I just want to get the heck out of there. So I mentioned, oh, hey, we left a baby at home. It's waiting. We really need to get moving. So Michelle says, oh, hey, maybe we should talk about a price. To the woman. I just can't believe it. I mean, we've spent the entire day on this journey and they hadn't even talked about that at this point. So what if the woman said, oh, it'll be $2,000 to refinish it? Or, you know, it could have been anything. So, well, luckily, this woman says, all right, well, this is going to take me a couple of days and it's a lot of work. So I don't know, maybe 200, maybe 180. I mean, just starts offering outlandishly low prices for the work that she's going to do. And, it just sounds great, you know. So Michelle, I kind of roll my eyes thinking that it's too good to be true, that not only is this woman not going to get the work done, but there's no way in hell we are ever coming back to this house because of what it took to get there. But, anyway, they negotiate this super cheap price, and then she continues to give Michelle a tour of the place for at least another hour, showing her various projects she's been working on. And she's very excited to have some company. Obviously, she's very alone in the woods with this pack of wild dogs. And anyway, so they talk until the sun goes down. And finally, when the sun goes down, I'm able to convince Michelle, all right, let's get back in the truck and get the heck out of here. So we go back in the driveway, slowly head out to make sure I don't hit any of these wild animals. And of course, we are now in the dark in the mountains of West Virginia. So we get lost instantly and just begin driving in circles. So I'm looking at just like a compass on the dashboard of the car, like, all right, let's just head east. Maybe eventually we'll get to 81. But as we head east, then that just starts taking us higher, higher, higher up into some other mountain. So then we turn back around. We take another turn. We start trying to retrace our steps. Finally, after 2 or 3 hours of this, we find the on-ramp to 81 and we start to head back home. So we get back home. This whole thing started at 7 a.m. We get back home at almost midnight. So the adventure, just to drop the furniture off, not even to pick it up to bring it back home, just to drop this junk off, took 17 hours. And at this point, I can't return the truck. It was like a 4 or 5 hour rental I planned for it. It's now been an entire day and I got to come back the next day. So the next morning I go to Ryder to turn it in. And as I drop it off, they're surveying the vehicle and I point out, hey, look, I smashed in the hole right back here. And the guy looks at his paperwork and says, oh, well, it's a really good thing that you paid for the insurance. This is entirely covered. You have nothing to worry about. Just sign this form. You're good to go. And he shows me the receipt of what I paid for the day before. And sure enough, that weaselly salesman had checked off the insurance checkbox and given me the $20 upsell that I specifically said I didn't want and signed it without that having been there. But for whatever reason, he just upsold me. And so it was a total miracle. I mean, this after this nightmare of a trip, and I expected I had not only incurred a waste of time and spending hundreds of dollars from some crazy lady in West Virginia, but now I'd incurred hundreds of dollars of damage to several vehicles. Now that was entirely covered just by some fluke of a salesman either making a mistake or trying to trick me. So it had a happy ending. And then, you know, as for the furniture, I'm sure you're wondering whatever happened to that. Well, as hard as it is to believe, and I still have a hard time believing this, given all the drama that went into it. 3 days later, the woman emailed Michelle with photos and said, hey, it's done. And I just couldn't believe it. I looked at it and said, well, this looks like it's painted. It looks like it's sanded. It looks like it's been stained. It just seems too good to be true. So over the course of the next few days, this woman adds additional coats and finishes it up and takes care of it all. We drive out there again the next Saturday with a smaller non-commercial truck, now that I kind of have a sense of what we're going to be taking back with us and how to drive these things. And we agreed to just give her two of the pieces of furniture because it's just way too heavy and too much stuff and it won't fit anyway. So she kind of comes out with a little bit extra beyond the monetary piece. So that furniture is still in our dining room to this day. And now, one of the things that Michelle said when she first bought it was, hey, we could go to a department store, or we could go to Tyson's Corner and we could buy a piece of furniture, or we could get something on Craigslist and we could have a story. And well, after all that, I think it's pretty clear that we got our story.
How about now? Think this looks okay? I made sure it's nice and centered on the wall. How about now? I used a level to be sure that it was straight. And wow, this looks so good here in the hall. Well, how about now? No, I don't think it needs more light. But fine, let's try that other wall instead. No, 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 I wasn't sighing. It's just really late at night. Can we please just give this up and go to bed? How about now? Time, if you wouldn't mind, let's stop now. How about now? Sure, let's see how it complements the den. You're a fount of good ideas, sweetie dear. How about now? Oh, good thinking. Let's try the foyer again. The frame really sets off the colors you chose in here. How about now? How about now? Should we try it?